welcome back to the Gospel. Wow, it has been a heck of a trade deadline in the NBA. I'm just flabbergasted by all of these moves that have been made. We'll get into some discussion on why I think some of these moves may have been made a little bit later on. But I'm your Jose, the fantasy football fiend himself, and I have my guy BK Wins. Holla at the people, BK.
Hey, y'all.
All right, so remember, we are on YouTube at The Gospel STP. Again, that's on YouTube at The Gospel STP. And if you haven't joined the Facebook group, that's the Gospel Sports Truth Facebook group. The same icon that you see on the app that you happen to be using to listen to the podcast now. So let's go right ahead and jump feet first into it. What's the good word of the week, BK?
Yeah, so Super Sunday, aka Super Bowl Sunday, is upon us. We have the big showdown with the Chiefs and the Eagles. The Chiefs trying for the three-peat. Jalen Hurts trying to win Super Bowl title number one. What do you think the keys to the game are? Give us a little bit of a preview and, of course, who you got.
I believe that in pardon the, how would I say, the often used answer, but I really do believe that it's going to be won or lost in the trenches. The Chiefs have an offensive line that's way above average. Philly has a defensive line way above average. Philly's run game, way above average. Kansas City's offense in general, way above average. So there's two things that I think the game kind of comes down to. Can Jalen Hurts go out and actually keep pace with Patrick Mahomes as far as passing is concerned? Or can they run the ball so effectively that it keeps Patrick from being able to add points to the board because he's not out there? They're going to have to play great defense, but they're going to have to win the time of if they don't just about double the time of possession that Kansas City has because they're simply running the air out of the ball, I don't know that they will be allowed to win the game. Like this is one of those you have to take it out of the ref's hands type situation. I don't know if that's going to bring about a bunch more holding penalties and things of that nature. Pass interference penalties, we'll have to monitor how that goes. But if the Eagles want a chance to be the man and beat the man, they're going to have a balanced pass run and win the time of possession game. And turnover. Can't have turnovers. And I don't think they're going to be able to do all of that. So Kansas City for the win. Close, though. I think this game is going to be, I'm going to give it a three. I'm going to give Kansas City a three-point win.
Yeah, I mean, so all those things you said are true, right? I think these are two overall evenly matched teams. I think from a roster standpoint, the Eagles have a little bit better roster than Kansas City, but Kansas City has the championship pedigree and the history, and they have the better coach and quarterback. I don't think anybody disagrees with that. So, but for me, I'm going to use three things above and beyond what you said. Well, one of them I'm going to echo. The big thing is turnovers, right? We saw it throughout the playoffs. It's an adage as old as time. The team that wins the turnover battle has a huge advantage in any game, particularly in a postseason game. Take care of the ball. That's step one. Number two, red zone efficiency. Once you get down there, you've got to score touchdowns. You can't settle for field goals in a game that I think will be close, mostly because Kansas City plays a lot of one-score games.
Yeah.
If the game's going to be close, your ability to finish in the red zone is going to be paramount to success for both teams. And then the third part of it is special teams. Oftentimes in the big game, it's something simple like team A misses a field goal or a shank punt or a block punt or a big return or even a return for a score. Something in the kicking game in a close game like this can swing the momentum. I look for a special teams play to be the difference in this one. No prediction yet, because you'll get that a little bit later, as I have a couple best bets along the lines of this game. But I do think the game is going to be a very good game, and I think the fans will enjoy it. Forget about who you want to win for the moment, but just in terms of a quality close game, I believe the fans are going to get that.
I think I'm going to enjoy this Super Bowl more than most Kansas City or Philadelphia fans, because all I'm rooting for is a good play. Like, every time a good play happens and you're on the opposite side and that's not your squad, well, your butt cheeks just got a little bit tighter. I'm just enjoying the fact that there was a good play played. So I can recall the fondness of the New England Patriots being in several Super Bowls, and every single one of them, I probably could have been admitted to the hospital due to blood pressure during, before, and after the game. But I really feel like this is just going to be one for the NFL fans as far as it just being a really good Super Bowl. So, yeah.
Agreed.
What we got up next?
So, as you alluded to in the open, there's been a lot of activity in the NBA with trades. I'm going to start out with the big one, and I know that we talked about this the other night, but it's such a huge deal, it's worth revisiting. And I'm also curious, how much do you think it helps these teams this year and in the future? Why do you think the move was made? How surprised were you made? There's a lot of questions, but the Lakers, they get guard Luka Doncic, forward Maxi Kleber, and of course, forward Markieff Morris. The Mavs get forward Anthony Davis, guard Max Christie, and a 2029 first round pick. My question to you is, were you surprised? What do you think? Why was it made? I got a lot of questions. Help me out here.
Man, was I surprised? Surprise does not begin to truly describe how I felt when this deal went down. I thought I was being trolled at first. I thought it was one of those, you know, such and such went wherever, and then like the name of the site is like NBAtroll.com or something like or it's one of those satire sites or something like that. That's what I thought I was looking at first. Once I realized that it was real, I kind of had to start doing, well, actually, you know, BK, I didn't do much math. I started to think about what I would say on the show, but BK, you and anyone else who's been following us and listening to us for the last couple years, you already know I would have taken a lot less for Anthony Davis. Anthony, and it's not a talent thing. He just can't stay healthy to save his. He stayed, what Anthony Davis did over the last 2 years was he stayed healthy enough for us to be able to work out a trade that someone else thought was fair. That's basically what Anthony Davis afforded us the opportunity to do. As far as Luka is concerned, I think this actually opens up a few more doors for us. And what I mean by that is, LeBron James has 2 years left. Two. That's it. Two. After that, one or two things happen. You decide to stick around, which is okay, but we're not paying you nearly what you're making right now, and you're going to be a role player. You're going to have to be okay with just being a starter and not the go-to guy, because that's going to be Luka all day. And I actually like the trade more now that they went and made the trade to pick up Charlotte's young center. That put us in a position where losing AD didn't hurt nearly as much. You got a guy that's averaging 15 points, 9 rebounds, and most of your points are off of putbacks and, you know, things that aren't designed for you to score. You just happen to score. That's what we need. LeBron and Luka, Rui on a good night. We got some scores, but we also have some defenders now. Like that the guy we picked up from Charlotte,
Mark Williams.
This man is 7'2". He almost has the same wingspan as Wimbe. just so we're on the same page, like Williams and Luka are the future of the Lakers. Did it sting quite a bit to give up Connect? Absolutely, it stung quite a bit to give up Dalton Connect. But the thing about it is, we don't have to depend on his scoring ability. So it made sense once we had Luka to go ahead and fill another spot on the board. And the biggest glaring omission there was center. Don't have to worry about that anymore. So, I mean, we have height, we have scoring, defense, offense. Like, we're right where we want to be for now and in the future. And the reason I say in the future is because when LeBron is gone, there'll be more people that will want to play for the Lakers than there were before Luka got there, obviously. There are going to be some guys that would have never even thought about being a Laker that they're going to reconsider a few things. I would go as far as saying, don't be shocked if another international superstar that literally just spoke on the fact that he wants to see all these international superstars in big markets. Giannis Antetokounmpo just basically told you he don't want to be in Milwaukee no more. He literally said he wants to see every international star in a big market, but just didn't mention his own name. Come on now. You really can't see through that cloud of dust? He's already telling you he wants to be in New York or L.A. So who's to say that a couple years from now, when he gets to that point where it's either I got to sign and I'm going to be here for the rest of my career, or I can go ahead and take off and go where I want to go. I really feel like L.A. now has their, you know, hat in the ring there. Joker, it's no secret that he and Luka Doncic are best friends. So, again, another guy that now that Luka's there, maybe he says, well, it was fun while it lasted in Denver, but I don't want to be here anymore. I want to go ball with my best friend. They're just going to be a lot of opportunities, and I can't wait. We got younger. We got a guy that got the Dallas Mavericks to the finals almost by himself. I like what we did here. Now, on the other side of it, I don't dislike it for the Mavericks, because what they're able to do now is capitalize on what Kyrie has left and capitalize on having big athletic front court. And I believe that that'll help them out in the next couple years, as long as AD can stay healthy. They'll be able to contend with just about everybody. They don't have to worry about not having a post presence. They don't have to worry about everybody scoring on them, no matter how much Luka scores. This is going to be a boat race back and forth. Who can score the most by the time the end of the game? Well, no, now you have some obstacles that you have to get over to be able to score. And you have a guy that on any given night can put up 20, 25 points, especially now that he's going to be the focal point of this particular team. I can't necessarily say, even though he should have been, that he was the focal point with the Lakers. I don't think that they trusted him enough to make him the focal point. Dallas don't have a choice when you just gave up Luka for him. He's your guy now. He's your guy, and Kyrie Irving is a great, you know, Robin to whoever's Batman. He's never really been a Batman, so it still works for that situation as well. So that's kind of where I am with that.
Yeah, I think for me, this is a much, much, much better deal for the Lakers, both this year and moving forward. I also think it's going to be a huge win for the Lakers in terms of attracting free agency once LeBron's gone. As great as LeBron is, people don't want to play with him in the league anymore, because with him comes a circus and his demands, and he has to be the guy. So with him out of the picture here sooner than later, and Luka there, and it being LA, I think it's going to be a madhouse for players wanting to play there. And it's going to be a huge win for them. For the Lakers, the sooner LeBron retires, the better off it is for them in their future. at this point. But for the Mavs, I guess I just don't understand. Well, so here's my concern, and I want you guys to understand that I'm not saying this factually is the worst trade in NBA history. But what I will say is, if I'm a fan of the Mavs or in the organization, this has the potential to go down as possibly one of the worst deals in NBA history. It doesn't make sense for a lot of reasons. First and foremost, at what point would I want to trade a 25-year-old superstar and not put let it be known to everyone so I can get the most value back? Like, we just took whatever offer we got and called it a day. And maybe they didn't want to tip off people that this would be.
That was my thought.
But still, if you open it up to everybody and you get a much better deal than what they got, clearly, then at least I think you save face by saying you're maximizing your return on a 25-year-old superstar. Now, the problem with the Mavs is AD is often injured, as we talked about. And Kyrie, essentially at this point, now is the best player on that team. And we've seen how that goes when he's the best player.
You don't think AD has Kyrie beat?
No.
At this point in the game?
No.
No? Okay.
The difference, I say that, is Kyrie can play and availability is a skill, meaning he actually is on the court. And the second part of it is, that's true. He does like his sabbaticals for random reasons. However, what I will say is, I feel like Kyrie, more so than AD, not that AD can't. AD is more of a consistent scorer. I think Kyrie's a guy who can actually take over a game. When he gets hot, he is lights out. Like, and so I think that's the part that I'm looking at there. But in either case, this is a much better deal, much, much better deal for the Lakers. Although I do think it's funny that AD said that they needed another big and then they traded him and then got a big. So I do think that is funny.
I think that's about as funny as Klay Thompson not joining the Lakers because he wanted to play with Luka. And yeah, you should have went to the Lakers because you would have been able to play with Luka. So yeah, life comes at you fast.
It's amazing how these things work out. So other moves, a move that I'm happy about, three-team deal, the Spurs get De'Aaron Fox to pair with Wembanyama. They also get guard Jordan McLaughlin. Kings get guard Zach LaVine, guard CeeDee Sissoko, who's already been traded to the Wizards, and six draft picks. The Bulls get Zach Collins, Kevin Werter, Trey Jones, and a 2025 first pick. I'm just going to quickly say, and all I'm going to say is two quick things. Really great move for the Spurs to pair De'Aaron Fox with Wemby. Love that for them. Two, thrilled for my Bulls to finally acknowledge you need to, whatever assets you have, wipe, blow it up. So happy that someone finally took LaVine. Way overdue. Thankfully got rid of him. What you got, Zay?
I think it actually worked out for all parties involved. And simply because they got what they wanted. Even if you don't agree with the compensation, De'Aaron Fox wanted out of Sacramento. Sacramento wanted to be able to move him and get something in return. They were able to pair two guys that enjoyed playing with each other, reuniting two Bulls teammates, also being able to get a couple other little pieces here and there. Spurs are getting a bona fide superstar to add with another bona fide superstar. And their rookie, Castle, he's not that far away from being a superstar himself. He's one of the best. The fact that they were able to pull this off without having to give up Castle, like, That boggles my mind that they were able to do that. No different than another trade we'll talk about where the Warriors didn't have to give up Kuminga to get Jimmy B. So it's this particular trade, although I can see where a little bit more could have been asked from or for any of the teams involved, I really feel like they no one's going to have buyer's remorse here. Worst case scenario for Sacramento is they have a couple of guys that play a couple of years, which is all they have left on the contract, and then they have quite a bit of cap space that opens up, and maybe they can lure another star down that way to add with the crew that they currently have. With the Spurs, I mean, Popovich may actually be able to retire in peace now, because he won't be leaving the Spurs worse off than they were when he found them. He's done a ton of great things there. Don't hear what I'm not saying. But when you leave a place, you don't want to leave it in disarray. And the moves that have been made here as of late really put them in a great spot, like a great spot. And a lot of free agents are going to want to play there. It's not going to be any different than Washington when we talk about the Commanders, other than the fact that there it actually is a winning legacy there with the Spurs. So it's not having to overcome some of the quote-unquote demons, if you will. They had decades of success, and they're just kind of going through their comeuppance period, but they navigated that and have already turned the corner. They're going to be a factor in the playoffs this year. Depending on who they go up against, that's a hard out as far as matchups are concerned. So, yeah, that's why I'm at on that.
Well, I know you brought it up, Zay, so I was curious your thoughts. Jimmy Buckets going to the Warriors, because we talked about it the other night about how the Warriors are in win-now mode.
Yep.
Steph probably has a couple years left. They're trying to figure out a way to unfrustrate him and get him some talent to make a final run at it before his Hall of Fame career comes to an end. What did you think about the deal? Of course, 2 years, $121 million for Jimmy Buckets to go to the Warriors. The Heat get forward P.J. Tucker, forward Andrew Wiggins, forward Kyle Anderson, plus a first-round pick. Not going to focus too much on this part, but the Pistons were in this three-team deal. They got guards Josh Richardson and Lindy Waters III. I only leave them out because I don't really think that move for them really moves the needle a whole lot. The big thing is what the Warriors and the Heat did.
I believe that the Warriors accomplished what they set out to do, which is pair Steph up with another superstar. So that they kudos for, you know, wanting a guy and not stopping at anything until you got him. Great. Unfortunately, You're still not good enough to make it out of the second round of the playoffs. You're still not better than OKC. Barring injury, I don't think you're beating the Lakers as currently constructed. I would be interested to see a matchup with them in Denver, but I don't necessarily know that they're going to have what it takes to take out Denver. There's some pretty good squads in the West right now. I'll just put it that way. You made yourself competitive, but Jimmy Butler wasn't the piece that was going to throw you over the top. So kudos for doing what you did. And maybe in the offseason or, you know, something will happen where you'll make another move. But Draymond Green being your third best player is not a championship formula, even though Draymond is great at what he does. He's just not that guy anymore. So yeah, you're going to try to, you know, swing hard for the home run and win one for the Gipper, but it's just not going to go down. You're not built for it at this current time.
Yeah. The West is brutal. And so I applaud the Warriors for doing something to try to appease Steph. And like I said, remotivate him to finish the season strong and give him some hope where there really wasn't much given how the roster was prior, especially in a loaded West. So this makes them at least more watchable and more dangerous. But given the overall depth in the talent of the West, it's going to be hard to run through all of it. More curious to see what happens next year in the offseason, to see what they do to probably make one final push next year. And for the Heat, they finally got rid of
Bob. You can get LeBron and Bronny next year. I'm sure Steph would love that. And I say that in all seriousness, because the Lakers aren't going to be ready to win the championship next year either. So why not get something for LeBron and let him and Steph and, you know, let them ride off into the sunset as the best of an era that ended up working it out to where as they ended their careers together. I think that's a whole different draw, if you will. And if it's one of those, hey, let's do, if it's an AD and Luka type deal where it's done behind closed doors and nobody knew about it until it was done, well, guess what? LeBron is still in California. You can't blame him and say that this is what he wanted and he wanted to be paired with this person or that. Nah, none of that. It's surely for assets. And they put themselves in a 2-year window. You're paying Butler how much to be there for 2 years? You just told everybody that this is about Steph's last 2 years in the NBA. That's what you just told everyone by making this one.
No, for sure. One last NBA trade to go over. The Bucks. They get forward Kyle Kuzma, forward Patrick Baldwin Jr., and center Jericho Sims, and a second-round pick. The Knicks get DeLon Wright. And the Wizards get Chris Middleton, guard A.J. Johnson, and a 2028 first-round pick. My question to you on this one was, were you surprised that this move was made?
Yes and no. It's been the worst kept secret in the NBA that there was some friction going on between, you know, the Bucks and Middleton. I'm glad Middleton will now get an opportunity. This actually may work out best for Middleton of all parties involved. And the reason I say that is you get to now go to a team and show people what it would look like if you were the guy consistently versus having to play a Robin role. Can you be a Batman for a mediocre team or for a bad team? That's for what you're going to be asked to do. I don't think it hurts his cachet. If anything, it puts him in a position to whereas if he chooses to stay there, he'll be able to get paid because they pay whoever is willing to stay there. He already has a ring, so maybe, you know, whoever can cash him out is the most important to him. But the other side of the coin is, if you do want to go somewhere else, this is the best place that you can put your skills on display every single night because no one's going to take the ball out of your hand. So I think it works out for Middleton better than anyone else. I also think it works out for Kuzma because Kuzma is pretty good when you don't have to depend on him. And now that he's the third guy in the rotation, I think he'll actually be more consistent as the third guy than he was when you wanted to try to make him a one or a two.
By the way, Kuzma family, Zay's email address is...
I'm just saying, I remember when he was a Laker. Like, he was one of the most frustrating players on the court because it's like, why can't you do what you did yesterday? Why do you look like two completely different players? So whenever he's on his game, they can ride the hot hand. If he's not on his game, they don't have to depend on him. So I think it works out well. And his skill set kind of gives the Bucks a little bit more athleticism as well.
Well, rounding out the good word of the week, we're going to turn to the Diamond, where the Mets finally, after months of flirting with re-signing Pete Alonso, finally did it. 2 years, $54 million. Are you surprised he went to the Mets? My other question is, does it really matter? And then the third part is, where do you think Alex Bregman's going to land? Because he's still waiting there for someone to grab a hold of him. So what you got there?
Well, I'll start out by saying I don't know if it was a let's see if there's anything better out there. That's why he's kind of hanging around a little bit. Or if it was a this is the number I have in my head. No, that's way too much. When you come back to our number after no one else offers you that, you got a deal. Like, but also your other question, I don't think it's going to matter. The Mets have no chance of doing anything of note this year. I just feel like they had to do something for hope's sake. You can't have these other teams that are making moves and that are obviously better than you, and then you don't even grab the low-hanging fruit that's still available to you. I think just to be able to sell tickets, that they had to do something of note to be able to say, see, we're trying. And when they lose, they'll be able to say, hey, we tried. And that's for some franchises. Can we ensure that we make a profit? And can we make sure that we can have an intelligent conversation at the end of the year that starts out with words like, well, we attempted to do this, this, and this, but it just didn't work out. And can you actually make that conversation make sense? Or will you immediately be called out for your nonsense? That's where the Mets are right now. So, and I also think that it's going to be a matter of possibly injury or someone that a team thought was going to sign but didn't, or it's going to be some type of scenario like that before. Dag, his name slipped my mind. What the second guy you just threw out there?
Alex Bregman.
Yeah, Bregman. So it'll be a scenario with Alex where it's a need based thing. It's kind of like when you have in the NFL that wily old veteran running back that just says, "Hey, I'll just wait until somebody gets hurt, and then maybe you'll offer me what I feel I'm worth." I kind of feel like that may be the sort of a scenario that Alex ends up finding himself.
Yeah, I think for me, I know that he's been rumored to Detroit and Boston and Toronto, but I honestly think it's going to, so let me preface this by saying, ultimately at the end of the day, I think he's going to go back to Houston.
Okay.
I know they got Paredes and made some other moves, but they've also been clearing up cap space, like trading Presley and making some other moves that I think that they're going to ultimately make that work. Okay. As a fan of the Yankees, knowing that they announced that Chisholm's going to be playing second base with the departure of Torres, there's a glaring hole at third base. And I don't want to hear Cabrera and DJ LeMay who's playing third. I understand that he's associated with the cheaters, aka the Astros, and I don't know how well from a PR. Here's the thing. When they watch him play defense and they watch him hit the ball out of the ballpark and they to get his gold glove at third and he actually hits the ball in the postseason, which has been a struggle for this team, I think they'll forget about it. I really hope the Yankees make that move. There's no reason why he shouldn't
be. BK, don't say that out loud. Don't say that out loud. You're jinxing it. You're jinxing it. You notice I didn't bring up the Yankees one time? There was a reason for that, BK. Don't jinx it, man. You know what we need. We know what we need. But why have the Yankees been acting broke lately? Like it used to be a foregone. It used to be who can spend the most money first, the Yankees or the Dodgers. Now it's just the Dodgers way overspending and the Yankees being like, well, that was stupid. We're not going to do that. It's like, no, be stupid. You have the money to be stupid. Spend the money.
The most embarrassing thing I ever heard was when the owner, Hal Steinbrenner, said, yeah, you know, we just can't compete with the most as much as the Dodgers are spending. It makes it really hard to remain competitive. You literally have more money than any team. Spend the damn money. You print money there.
Just the money that you're making off the Yes Network will pay for any contract. Matter of fact, the Yes Network is paying for your roster. Your entire roster can get paid just from the income from the Yes Network, I'm sure.
And while we're saying yes, please say yes to Bregman to the Yankees.
All right, BK, what we got coming up next?
Well, the truth and nothing but the truth. So back to football.
Okay.
So I know that there's going to be some probably hate mail coming my direction, but I think it's a fair question. Here it is. You guys tell me if it's fair, and I know, Zay, you'll definitely tell me if it's fair. Could this be the Eagles' last chance at a title in the near future? Is their title window closing?
I don't think it is. And the only reason I don't think it is they've already paid their quarterback. Most of their defense is actually young and on rookie salaries. So they don't have anyone who's currently playing that is of note that they wouldn't be able to afford to play should they choose to pay them. There's actually some places where they could actually get better. I don't foresee Saquon Barkley leaving. I doubt he's going to be a mercenary for hire. He's going to want to finish out his career behind that sort of an offensive line and with that sort of play calling and with that sort of quarterback. So you're going to have that intact. I think that they have until if Saquon leaves and A.J. Brown leaves, and now you're truly dependent on Jalen Hurts to manufacture your points, not quote-unquote by himself, but pretty close to it, because you chose to pay your defense instead of paying your offense, that sort of a situation, that's when I think it'll kind of start to back away a little bit. And that's also because of the come-up that I see the Commanders taking right now. And where they're going to be for the next 4 years, I'll say 4 years because they won't get to year five before they pay Daniels. They won't make that mistake. So I think they have about two more years after this year to still be in prime title positioning. After that, I see the Commanders taking over that division. They only truly have two more years of being the cream of that crop before I don't know that they'll actually be able to still compete. Because you don't really see a whole bunch of free agents trying to go play for the Eagles other than, you know, they just got Saquon. But, you know, that was one of those things where they were just willing to pay slightly more than a few other teams, but they weren't even number one on this list. So.
Yeah, so I don't think that it's closing. I do think they need to be careful. And it's because the landscape in the NFC has changed. For quite a while, the AFC was loaded. And now here's the potential I can see the Eagles having trouble. The Lions were really good this year, right? They're losing coordinators, but their team is still intact. The Vikings won 14 games. They're going to have availability, you know, with McCarthy being the starting quarterback. They're going to be able to make some moves and really surround him with even more weapons and make that team even better. The Packers are really good. The Niners, I can't imagine a year as loaded as their roster is. I can't imagine them getting as injured again this year or next year, I mean. So the Niners are going to be tough to deal with. Washington's going to be scary good. They're only going to get better in the offseason. A team that, you know, won 12 games in the regular season. So, and the division's going to be a two-team race because we both know the Cowboys and the Giants are not going to be very good. So I just think there's going to be a lot of competition. I think the Buccaneers will get better. They're trending in the right direction. The potential for the Seahawks to get better. If Arizona makes the right moves, they can get better. The Rams should have beat the Eagles, but the weather got them. And I know that's a part of it. You got to handle the elements, and both teams played in the snow. But the Rams were able to do and control that game. It was the turnovers that cost them, you know. And I think if they just played a cleaner game, and I know if ifs and buts and all those things, but the Rams have the talent to be dangerous as well as my point. I think the NFC shapes up to be a very balanced, deep conference. And that's plus the other part is, I still don't believe that the fan base there or even the locker room is tremendously thrilled with Sirianni. So, moving along, Zay, this one's for you, bud. So, what do you make of defensive coordinator Jim Knowles leaving for Penn State, offensive coordinator Chip Kelly leaving the Buckeyes as well to take an NFL job with the Raiders? How much does this impact the Buckeyes' quest to repeat? Or does it impact them at all? Well, I think we're having some technical difficulties here. So I'm going to start, I guess, my response to this, and hopefully Zay can rejoin us. So the Buckeyes have been loaded with talent. It's no problem with them between NIL, the portal, and recruiting to have a loaded roster. They've proven they can have a loaded team every year. Losing Jim Knowles doesn't really mean a whole lot to me because, again, I don't think that he really contributed a whole lot to the Buckeyes defense as a defensive coordinator. I think you can replace him and it's not that big a deal. I equate it like this. Manny Diaz is a better defensive coordinator than Jim Knowles, and that's who's essentially he's replacing at Penn State. Not directly, but not too far removed from Manny Diaz being the D coordinator. So, and when I look at offensive coordinator Chip Kelly leaving for the NFL, that's a much bigger loss because Kelly especially is proven at Oregon and now at Ohio State. You give him a lot of toys to maneuver. He's a proven winner as a play caller. And it's very obvious in watching the Buckeyes when he was really calling the plays versus Ryan Day was very much impacting what was going on. I don't think them losing those coordinators is really going to impact the quest to repeat. It's can they replace all the talent they lost to the NFL in the portal? And can Coach Day stay out of the way? How do you feel about that, Zay?
So as far as defensive coordinator, we'll figure that out. We got plenty of talent on defense. And that's actually one of those positions where there are a lot of qualified guys. You just got to find your guy. As far as on the offensive side, this is my fear. I have 100% confidence in Brian Hartline. He's a Buckeye wide receiver, did awesome things in the NFL, has done awesome things coming back and being the wide receiver coach and the assistant OC. So I have no issues whatsoever with Brian Hartline. My issue is going to be the level of trust and confidence that Ryan Day will have in Brian Hartline to actually run the offense instead of the it's your job. Oh, give me back the reins. Like if he did that with Chip Kelly, who he has a ton of confidence in and who has been his boss at other stops, I just don't know if it pans out this year where what Brian Hartline really brings to the table will actually be seen because Ryan Day is going to want to be a little bit more involved based upon the fact that Brian Hartline will be a rookie OC. So that's my fear. Do I believe we'd be able to figure that out by the end of the year? Absolutely. We haven't had a three-loss season since 2011, and I don't know that even with such stark changes that would even be in a realm of possibility as far as three losses in the regular season prior to postseason. So, yeah, that's kind of where I am as far as that's concerned. And I will say I was also saddened the other day when the news came across the scroller that Ryan Day got an extension to 2031. Like, that's a long time to sheesh. Like, I get it. He just won the championship. But a six-year extension, that's a bit much. I would have just given him a little kicker, a little bonus. Here's 10 mil. Thanks for everything you did. Your contract is still the same. That's kind of... or we add 2 years, maybe 6 years? But yeah, that's where I am on that.
Well said. I have nothing to add to that. You said that perfectly. So last but not least, running out the truth, but nothing but the truth, back to the association here. What is behind the NBA's decline in viewership? For those of you who aren't aware of this, the ratings on ESPN are down almost 30% since the end of November of 2024. Why do you think there's been such a huge decline?
For all intents and purposes, until the last couple of days, it's just kind of boring. Not only that, but the NBA was in a position where a lot of your best teams were teams in very small markets. Like, no one cares if OKC is the best team in the West. They shouldn't be. it's a lot of small markets that are making hay. And I love that for them. But when some of the teams that have the most fans aren't well off, there's a side effect, which is you have a lot less people watching. Don't call me a conspiracy theorist, but Luka going to LA, the NBA needed that. The Warriors being back in business as far as being a contender, the NBA needed that. The drama down in Miami being over, the NBA needed that. The Knicks now having a squad, and they made their moves on last year. They did a couple of little small things this year, but for all intents and purposes, that they made their major moves last year. The NBA needed that. Like, the NBA is now setting itself up to whereas several large markets will be in the running, but you'll have several small markets with dedicated fans and some younger talent and things of that nature already in a position that they could take the chip. But minimally speaking, some of the larger markets will at least be involved until a year or two passes. And a lot of those, like the Knicks, are going to be an amazing team in another year or two. The Lakers, depending on if we decide to be quote unquote loyal and not trade LeBron next year, which we should, even if we didn't do that, and his money simply fell off the books, just who we will now be able to pay. We got a shot at anybody that's coming up in free agency whenever he leaves, just because we can pay you, and you, the roster will be as such that you can see yourself winning in that location. And I honestly believe we did a really good job picking our head coach. He's going to be a couple years older, a couple years wiser, a couple more years under his belt as a head coach. I don't think that J.J. Redick is going anywhere anytime soon. I don't think Rob Pelinka is going anywhere anytime soon. Luka Doncic shouldn't be going anywhere anytime soon. He didn't sign an extension. So as of right now, he's only there for 2 years, but I don't see him going anywhere at the end of his contract either. So,
no, well said. I think all of that is true. Much like a lot of these sports, so I'm going to give kind of a more in-depth, comprehensive review of this, I guess. I think the decline in viewership is a microcosm of how society works today. People don't have the attention span to watch 82 games. Agreed. The NBA season's way too long. NHL's way too long. God knows we know the MLB season's way too long. People don't have the attention span to watch 82, 82, and 162. Most people don't have that kind of time. Now, the diehards, sure, they'll make the time, but most people don't have that. I also think the quality of the game has declined. What I mean by that, players missing for load management. Fans don't want to hear that. You're getting paid millions. I'm not saying it's bad for the players or it doesn't make sense, but the fans don't care about your load management. They pay to see you play. They want you to play. That's a problem. The second thing is the way the game is played. The regular season has turned into a glorified all-star game. It's not physical. Nobody plays defense until the fourth quarter. and everybody on the team just jacks up threes. And most people, while that's entertaining to watch the scoring, that's not real basketball. Real basketball is not shooting 50 threes a game. That's not. And so we need to get back. Not that I'm advocating to go back to playing 74-72 where we're clotheslining each other every play. But you can control the scoring that it's more like 108-102 or 112-104. But if I'm watching games where it's 85-82 at the half, we got a problem.
Agreed. Yeah. I mean, I think what happened with the NBA is they became slightly complacent. And once they became complacent, it all of a sudden became an emergency to fix things. And the fix is experimental now. We got goofy stuff like a mid-season tournament that no one gives a crap about, unless the Lakers win. And then that's the worst thing that could have happened for the NBA, the Lakers winning that first mid-season tournament. If it had been like Memphis or somebody that won that tournament, people would be, oh, okay, that's what's up. That's what's up. Y'all going in the right direction. The Lakers win it, they're going to clown it just because people like to clown LeBron. Like, so.
All right, what we got next?
Well, up next we have, let's see here, one of my favorite segments, I would say. I know I say that about almost every segment, but this one I like for a whole different reason. We get to peel back a few of the layers and let the audience kind of get to know us a little bit better. So I do look forward to this every week. So it's our top five all-time favorite of something. And for today, it's hobbies. So yeah, why don't you go ahead and kick us off first?
So for me, my number five is game nights. I love game nights. So little story, one of my favorite things when I get together with my parents and relatives during the holidays is we play card games, board games. And I just love it. It's relaxing. It's fun. It mentally challenges you. I'm competitive. So, of course, I always like to joke that I have the championship belt when I win. So kind of like a little Aaron Rodgers has the belt, you know. So, and you know me, I don't miss a chance to talk trash. So, but it's just so, it's a reminder of how much family matters to me and how much fun we have. So game nights is something I enjoy. What about you?
Number five for me, video games. We can go all the way back to the Nintendo, Super Nintendo, 64, all of that kind of good, like Genesis, all that kind of good stuff. Up to the PlayStation 5, which there'll probably be a PlayStation 6 within the next 2 years or something. I don't know. But I don't play nearly as much as I used to, but that is one of the things that I would say would definitely have to make that list for me there at number five. Number four for you. Let me go ahead and throw my number four out there, and I'll let you hop right back in. Number four for me, TV series, watching TV series. I love my TV series. Actually, no. I'm going to make an executive decision to make a quick change. Number four for me will be movies. Watching movies. Going to the movies or watching movies. And then number three will be TV series. So there's nothing like a great movie or a great TV series. Those are things that you can just sit down, watch with the family, watch by yourself, whatever you want to do. But number four for me is TV series. Number three is movies. What are your number four and number three top five?
I love it. Movies, love your video games answer. Makes me think of all the time I played Tecmo Bowl and Madden. So
yes, definitely
video games, always a lot of fun. For me, my number four is music and listening to music, whether I'm driving around, cruising with the top down, which I got to do today because it was a glorious, beautiful day in the neighborhood today in South Carolina. So enjoying the top down weather was awesome. But music has always been very relaxing to me. And also, it some of the lyrics in specific words or phrases also makes one do some thinking as well. But I just enjoy relaxing. Music number four.
What is your number three?
Number three, traveling.
Okay.
You know, specifically, I enjoy any opportunity I can to get away to the beach. You know, just relaxing. I'm a big fan of getting away and recharging the batteries and coming back fresh. And I think it just gives you a whole new perspective and kind of a renewed sense of purpose. So travel's my number three. What you got for two?
Number two, spades. There are some people that can play cards, and then there's card players. I'm a card player. I'm one of those guys who can tell you what you're about to play, why you're about to play it, and why it isn't a good move, although you thought it was going to be a good move. I'm that level of spades player. So I don't get the opportunity to play as much as I used to, just because most of the people that I used to play with are kind of spread out around the United States at this point. I guess we could hop on a video game version or something like that, but that's not quite the same. So it's nothing like smacking that card on the table and taking that book and setting the other team and seeing that look of desperation like, do we have this last book? Nope, you sure don't. And I'm going to tell you why you don't, because I already know what card you have and I know what card I have. So yeah, spades. That's for sure one of my favorite hobbies. Number two for you.
For number two for me is just sports in general.
Okay.
Playing sports. Hence why we have the show, right? Love watching and playing sports, whether it be watching football, college and pro football, basketball. Excited for Gamecock baseball to start in a week here. Get to Founders Park and check out the new coach. Excited to see what this year will bring. If nothing else, you're going to get great weather and a great venue. But I just love sports. That's my number two.
BK, you know what? I think we both did. Matter of fact, I'm waiting until we both put our number ones out there before I make a comment. Number one for me, fantasy football. It's not even close. That's bar none a year-round conversation starter, trash talking about moves being made. You know, Dynasty just really gave me everything I needed in life. Dynasty came about. So you mean to tell me I never have to stop playing fantasy football? Like, ever? 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 Yes. Yes. Okay. My thing. Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, for sure. Fantasy football, number one for me.
I knew that was coming. Knew it. And rightfully so. Love it too. My number one won't surprise anybody if you've listened to the show once or twice. My number one favorite hobby is pickleball. Officially a pickleball addict. I love pickleball. But what's funny is, for me, the reason why I love it so much is it checks all the boxes for me. I've been able to meet so many great, amazing people, make a lot of friends. It's so much fun. I've been able to lose over 30 pounds since I started playing. So I'm in much better shape. I love it. I'm competitive. Gosh knows I hate losing. So there's that quest to get better and be better than you were yesterday. So it completes that, scratches that competitive itch part as well. But anytime you get to get exercise without thinking about it, you get to have fun with people that you enjoy being around, and you get to challenge yourself to get better and go through that process. I absolutely love it. Pickleball, number one. In fact, I loved it so much, I did it twice today.
So, BK, my prognostication did come true, and this was based on what neither one of us had on our list. And I don't know what it says. I don't know what it says. This is what it is. So I guess I'll throw it out as an honorable mention. Podcasting. I'll throw that out as an honorable mention, I guess.
Well, do we get any kind of pass, buddy? Because at least in my sports thing, I mentioned hence why we do this.
Well, this is true. I'll give you that.
So I bungled it in there.
And I mean, when you think about it, this show started out as a straight up fantasy football show. So theoretically, it ties in there as well. You see what we did there? We never lose. We figure it out. We figure out a way to win. We figure out a way to stay on top. We have, sir, the part of the show that has definitely made whoever is listening the most money. That's for certain. That's just facts. BK's best bets. What we got, bro?
So I'm going to do something I've never done on this show.
Okay.
And it'll be a year, believe it or not, a year we've been doing this next month.
What? It's really?
Yes. Because we started right before the tournament. Fun.
Sheesh.
Yeah. Love it. I'm actually going to, this is how confident I am in these bets, and I want y'all to make money, and I don't want you to miss out on the big game, because we all know you're going to watch it, whether you're going to watch for Taylor Swift, watch the halftime show, critique the commercials, or you actually care about the game. Okay. The two best bets, I'm going to run it back from last week because these are going to win. Kansas City -1.5 is going to win the Super Bowl. They are going to three-peat. Number two, if the Chiefs win, and they will, when they win, Pat Mahomes is going to be the MVP. I would recommend doing it both ways. Chiefs -1.5. Also do Mahomes +125 to win Super Bowl MVP. I would also do the parlay as well.
BK, isn't that kind of low? Like, +125 for Mahomes to be MVP? Like, who else on Kansas City side has a chance?
Well, the next best option is Travis Kelce at +1,500.
Yeah, but for Travis Kelce to have a great game, I'm sorry, doesn't that mean that Patrick Mahomes had a great game as well? Theoretically?
I agree with you. I think here's the issue with why it's so low. The betting public expects the Chiefs to win. And the other part of that is if the Chiefs win, the MVP has historically been, the Super Bowl MVP has historically been a quarterback award.
Correct.
So if the Chiefs win and Mahomes is the quarterback, and he three-peats, Mahomes is going to get it.
Which is why I would think it would at least be like +200, +250. Like, it just seems a foregone conclusion that he's going to get it. Like, I don't know. That seems kind of low to me. But take advantage of it. Vegas has been wrong all year, apparently. So this is the first year in 12, 13 years that they've actually lost as far as NFL bets are concerned. So the public has been beating up Vegas quite a bit this past year.
I have a theory, Zay, why this is happening.
Why's that?
If everyone keeps following BK's best bets, Vegas has been losing.
You know what? When you're right, BK. And that just makes it, as we get more popular, Vegas keeps losing money. I'm not saying it's a causation, but there's definitely a little correlation there. I'm just a believer of that. All right, can't miss weekly rants. BK, I'm going to go first, and I'm going to make it real quick.
Okay, hit us.
Please stop with the conspiracy theories every time one of my teams makes a trade or gets an NIA. Like, and my teams are the Lakers, New England, the Buckeyes, the Yankees. So just so you know who my squads are. But for whatever reason, like, it's like people always want to hate on the Lakers. Like, we haven't been good for a while. Y'all still haven't let any of that hate die down? I'm just like, don't be mad at me because we were able to get a deal off that other people couldn't. I mean, it just happens that way sometimes. You know, sometimes you're lucky. It's no different than the Lakers have a very difficult time drafting. Other teams seem to never be able to get it wrong. the way the Lakers makes the team better is through free agency and through trades. And you should be used to it by now. Matter of fact, the Lakers wouldn't have gone through the lull that they went through if David Stern didn't veto the Chris Paul trade. Could you imagine Chris Paul with Kobe and Paul Gasol? I mean, like, when they were all still in their prime at that, Kobe won another championship without him. So I'm just saying, like, don't hate. Congratulate when people get nice things, and maybe you'll get nice things. But if you don't have nice things, that's probably why you don't have nice things, because you don't congratulate others. Don't be a hater. Be better than that. And that's all I got, BK. Go ahead and round out the show. What you got for your Can't Miss Weekly Rant, my guy?
So for those of you guys who have faithfully tuned in every week, my rants unfortunately tend to center around one of two things: either officiating or coaching. And don't worry, this will not be any different. My favorite college basketball team since I was a little kid was North Carolina. Love the baby blue. It takes me no pride in saying this, given that Hubert Davis is a former Tar Heel great. But he's got to go. The standard is the standard. He's in year four. Year one, lost in the championship game, blew a big 17-point lead to Kansas, should have won the title. Year two, first team to come back preseason number one and not make the tournament. Year three, Sweet 16. So this year, 13-10, and they're on the verge of missing the tournament again. So I'm going to say the same thing that I say about South Carolina baseball. When you have the history, the conference you're in, the venue, the history, every year you should be in the tournament. Like, I shouldn't have to wonder whether you're on the bubble or not. And the fact that it's happened twice in 4 years, that can't happen at Carolina, who's a blue blood. He needs to go. And I heard that he's going to get some kind of GM to help run things there. They don't need a GM. They need a new coach. And that's the truth.
And that wraps it up for this evening. We will be back to you for the final midweek recap. Recapping the Super Bowl and the season that was. And then we'll bring that show back when football season comes back around. We'll still have this show for you every week. And it'll be a few weeks, and then we'll have the fantasy football show back as well, as things kind of get lively in the NFL as far as free agency and making sure you are in the know as far as the draft is concerned. But for this evening, we are done. We'll see you next go around. And remember, always tell the truth.
And nothing but the truth. Enjoy the big game, y'all.
We out.